Kingdom Exhortations, February 2025, read by Stephen Keysweater.
Good morning. The Bible book of 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul while in Ephesus during his third missionary journey around AD 53 to 55. Paul's earnest and Christ-centered love for the Corinthians in Corinth is clearly illustrated throughout the letter, along with his adroit focus on Jesus. Quote, "Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey, wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." 1 Corinthians 16, verses 6 through 9. Paul established the church several years earlier during his second missionary journey around AD 50 to 52. Quote, "After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth." Acts 18, verse 1. Paul opens the letter by introducing himself and his brother in Christ Sosthenes while stating his credentials as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He proclaims that he is writing to Christians in Corinth and everywhere who have genuinely received Christ as Savior and are, therefore, set apart to increasingly proclaim and emulate Jesus in everything. He then reminds us of the incredible spiritual blessings that are ours only in Jesus from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Quote, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul proceeds to show us what a lifestyle of consistent thanksgiving ought to look like and reminds us of how much we have been truly given in and through Jesus Christ, including the spiritual gifts imparted to us. He assures us that if we are true Christians, we will be kept secure in Jesus and will never be lost from him. How often do you sincerely thank Jesus and your Heavenly Father for the overwhelming blessings they have poured out on others in Christ? Quote, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9. Paul displays genuine humility by exhorting the Corinthians to be unified in Christ without focusing on specific gifted church leaders, including himself. He forcefully reminds them that it's only about Jesus and all about Jesus. Significantly, Paul uses the name Jesus 11 times in the first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians. Quote, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, 'I follow Paul.' Another, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Cephas.' Still another, 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 17. Paul goes on to tell the Corinthians that the cross of Jesus Christ is the true essence and purpose of our lives, and that many people reject it as unsophisticated or beneath God's use of his overwhelming sovereignty and power. He also reveals God's purpose in using people who are not respected and revered by the world. Quote, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25. Paul concludes his thoughts by proving God's desire to use lowly and unappreciated people in his service by asking them to consider their lives and upbringing, clearly showing his intention to glorify himself by making trophies for Christ out of those no one would ever expect. Paul declares that this happens only as we embrace and grow to know and love Jesus. Quote, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 31. Let us go now and begin to consider the incredible and overwhelming ramifications of what it means to be in Christ, to be a Christian. Remind yourself that as a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, you are absolutely secure in him and cannot be lost. Additionally, think about the invaluable spiritual gifts and blessings that are yours in Christ, and never forget that Jesus is not concerned about your status in the world or your family lineage. Quote, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Carefully read through 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and earnestly reflect on what Paul is saying. Observe his lifestyle of concern and Christ-centered love, along with his wonderful heart of genuine and consistent thanksgiving for others. Quote, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Look for areas in your life where you lack humility and consistently repent of any pride and arrogance. Labor to walk in unity with fellow Christians where possible, and do not revere or idolize church leaders or anyone else. Always remember, it's all about Jesus and only about Jesus. Therefore, be intentional about increasingly speaking the name Jesus in your daily life. Quote, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Finally, determine to make an effort to be like Paul and emulate him and his walk and devotion to Jesus. Quote, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. As you grow to be more like Paul and, therefore, more like Jesus, you will begin to experience the power, presence, and peace of Christ in ways you could never imagine. Quote, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Philippians 4, verse 9. May God bless you all. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9.